Any discussion of development under Mayor Bloomberg needs to begin almost 4 months before he took office. The September 11th attacks killed nearly 3,000 people.
Explosion! Oh my God!
And removed the city's two tallest buildings from the skyline.
We have been attacked. We have been tested.
10 million square feet of office space was lost in a matter of hours.
And now we are on the path to renewal and recovery.
In January 2002, Bloomberg outlined a long list of ventures to reinstate confidence in New York.
But while we must prepare for the unthinkable,
the Olympics, political conventions, hosting a joint session of Congress,
we are intensifying our efforts to bring other major events to our
12 years later, to see if that confidence-building strategy has worked, I go talk to Steve Spinola in his office in Midtown, a tall, silver-haired man with square-rimmed glasses. He's been the president of the Real Estate Board of New York, a group of developers and major property owners, for more than 25 years.
If you ask my members, they will tell you that this has been a great period of time for them.
More than 200,000 housing units have been completed, the most since the mid-1970s. Seven of the tallest 20 buildings in the city now were built since Bloomberg came into office, including a new breed of residential towers like Frank Gehry's skyscraper at the foot of the Brooklyn Bridge.
There's a great deal of confidence in the city after 12 years of the mayor demonstrating that New York is a place to invest.
Some of these tall buildings did benefit from tax-free bonds that were authorized after September 11th, and the country as a whole went through a building boom. But, Spinola says, Bloomberg's managerial competence and his ability to bring down the crime rate even lower convinced developers that the city had a future.
He has planned, whether that be zoning, whether that be environmental issues, whether that be where we're going to put our garbage, all of that combined gives you a sense that this isn't a city that just is dealing with an issue each time it comes up.
It's not just Manhattan that's going vertical. New buildings constructed between 2000 and 2010 were taller, in terms of the number of floors, than those built during the previous decade in almost all city neighborhoods. That's according to NYU's Furman Center for Real Estate and Urban Policy. Dan Doktoroff was Mayor Bloomberg's first deputy mayor of economic development. I meet him at his office at his new job. He's chief executive of the mayor's media company, Bloomberg LP, which, by the way, occupies one of those seven tallest buildings constructed since 2002.
There was a call to make New York better, and in some ways even bigger than before. It was rebuilt.
Doktoroff has this idea.
The virtuous cycle of the successful city.
That idea led him and other city officials to rezone the city to encourage bigger buildings in neighborhoods they thought could handle more density.
You remember the old Gordon Gekko line from the movie Wall Street, greed is good? Well, for a city, growth is good, because the marginal revenues from the additional resident, the additional visitor, the additional job, produce additional revenues greater than the cost, which then can be reinvested, hopefully smartly, in quality of life.
In other words, a growing population produces more taxes, and those taxes can be used to make more parks, better schools, or better transportation, which in turn will attract even more people to come live here.
That really has been a big part of our philosophy over the last 12 years.
Bloomberg has rezoned 40% of the city's landmass. As a result, according to NYU's Furman Center, more than 300,000 more people will be able to live here. But increasing density has led to repeated clashes with residents of the neighborhoods being rezoned. One famous example, the Atlantic Yards project in Brooklyn, home of the new Barclays Center Arena.
This is the largest private sector project in Brooklyn's history.
In 2005, the mayor presided over the signing of a community benefits agreement. It promised affordable housing, affirmative action for local job applicants, and minority contracting goals.
We need jobs, we need opportunities.
That drew supporters to the project, but others balked at the sheer size of the proposal, 16 high-rises, and a basketball arena on the edge of a neighborhood made up of four- or five-story brownstones.
Phase, at least 50% of the units constructed should be classified as affordable.
Tish James was the local city council member.
The project is too dense, and the height of the building should be reduced.
Normally, James would have played a starring role negotiating with the developer, Bruce Ratner. She would have had a chance to bring down the proposed height of the buildings.
Stop the clock!
But the Bloomberg administration arranged for a state agency to review the project instead of putting it up for approval by the city council. And Tish James was sidelined.
Stop the clock!
As it happens, aside from the basketball arena, very little of the project has been built so far. The 10-year timeline has been pushed back to something more like 25 years. And as a result, many of the jobs in affordable housing have also been delayed. On Manhattan's far west side, work is just beginning on a platform over a train yard, the centerpiece of Bloomberg's largest rezoning, Hudson Yards, first approved 8 years ago. Francis Maroney is an architectural historian.
Those are both being done by Cohn Pedersen Fox, who were the master planners of this.
He's standing at West 33rd Street between 10th and 11th Avenues, pointing out where buildings by different architects are going to go.
The buildings here are going to be really big buildings. One of them is going to be 80 stories tall.
All in all, this area has been rezoned to accommodate 26 million square feet of office space, more than twice the floor space of the old Twin Towers.
More than all of Metro Buffalo. It's more than all of Metro Tucson. So basically, imagine Buffalo just being plunked down right here on the west side of Manhattan. It's an enormous amount of office space.
Maroney gives the mayor high marks for emphasizing good architectural design and says he understands where the mayor is coming from with his growth agenda.
He feels that New York can't relax in this sort of race with other cities to retain and lure top companies, especially in the financial services sector, but other companies.
Because even in Paris, there is talk of building tall buildings now. But Maroney sees a downside to what Dr. Roth calls the virtuous cycle of the successful city, which is that as New York becomes more attractive to international companies, everything becomes more expensive.
The city is going to survive. The city is going to thrive. Not all of the people in the city are going to thrive or even be able to continue living here.
Big real estate projects take so much time to come to fruition and go through so many unpredictable changes that Mayor Bloomberg's vision for the city will not fully come to fruition for one, two, maybe three decades. In other words, not just the next mayor, but the next several mayors will be operating in a landscape shaped by one of their predecessors, a denser, taller, more crowded city. The World Trade Center site is instructive.
That's where I am now. For most of Bloomberg's first term and much of his second, it didn't look like anything was getting done here. But after Bloomberg and other officials intervened, rearranged responsibilities, and pumped more public money into the project, the Freedom Tower, now called One World Trade Center, is getting built. It's now taller than either of the Twin Towers ever were, the tallest building in North America. Reporting from Ground Zero for WNYC, I'm Matthew Sherman.